behind my program. Today we are going to do, to finish that, I hope, this part one, and then there will be two more days left to do the rest of it. So we might speed up quite a bit in the next 2 days. Well, I mean Wednesday and Friday. Okay, so section 18, cylinders and spans. That's the part I'm going to discuss with you today. Well, first there's a notion of sieves. The notions of sieve a sieve in the category A is a set S of objects of A such that target of F and S imply source F and S for every F. Okay, that's the classical notion of this sieve. It can be different. It can be defined differently, because instead of thinking of a sieve as a set of objects, you may also consider the full subcategory of A spanned by the object of S. Okay, so we identify a sieve the full subcategory of A span by the objects of S. Okay, now if you have a sieve, let's say as a full subcategory for every sieve there exist a unique functor P from A to I is the category with two elements 0 and 1 such that P minus 1 of 0 is S. So the picture is like this. You have A, you have the sieve S, you have the interval 0, 1. You send every element of S in 0 and everything else in one. Okay. This defines a 1-1 correspondence between the sieves in A and the maps from A to I. So that's another way of looking at a sieve. There's a dual notions of a co-sieve. So there is in sieve in a category A. And this property is true also for co-sieve, but with so if T is a co-sieve, then T is equal to P minus 1 of 1 for a unique map from A to I. So that shows that there is a bijection. It's obvious that between the sieves and the co-sieves in A, we may think of a sieve and its complementary co-sieve. Okay. Now, clearly, the category cat over I is playing an important role here. And again, there is a miracle here. I said there was a miracle about S over I yesterday. It's the fact that cat over I is Cartesian close. If you slash cat over an arbitrary category, it is not Cartesian close in general. I think it's Cartesian close only for the interval and for 1. You can check this, that's easy to check. So this thing is Cartesian close. And an object here P in cat over I, a cylinder. Why a cylinder? Well, it's because the picture is that it's a category over, so you have two fibers, one over 0 and the other over 1, and there is something in the middle. There are some arrows here. So that's a cylinder, the picture of a cylinder. So if you have a cylinder, I'm going to denote C0 for P minus 0 and C1 for P minus 1. And it's good to give it name. Because these are the two ends of the cylinder. So I call C1 is the base. Of C and C0
is the cobase.
I, for a long time, I did the opposite. I was calling C0 the base and C1 the cobase, but now that's my terminology. The reason is that you may think of the cylinder as being something vertically, like this, right? The cylinder C is something like this, where the arrows are like that, and then you have C1 here and C0 here, right? And so the cylinder is over its base, okay? Pretty much like in a category when we look at category of objects over B, B is the base, and we think as the base as over, as under the objects of E over B. So that's the reason for the terminology. Okay, so the base of a cylinder is a co-sieve in C, and its cobase is actually a sieve. So this is a sieve, and this is a co-sieve. Sorry for the switching, right? This. The cobase is a sieve. Yeah, I cannot lift it up. Okay, but we are going to change a little bit this terminology also. I won't call that a cylinder, I will call that a zero cylinder, because I want to introduce cylinders later. So this is the notions of zero cylinder. Okay, yeah, right. Okay, now a construction. How can you construct a cylinder? So there is a notion of distributor. So a distributor D from category A to category B is a functor. D from A up cross B to set. Okay, so it's also called, it could be called a bimodule. If you have a distributor, you can construct a category collage. The collage category A star B D is constructed as follows. Okay, so the objects of A star D B, that's just the object of A union object of B. So the arrows now, so let me call C or ADB. So C of AB or XY, let's say, is just defined as follow. It's A of xy if xy are objects of A. It is B of xy if xy are objects of B. It is D of xy if x is an object of A and B and y an object of B. It is empty otherwise. This category, the composition is obvious, right? The compositions of comes from the action of the arrows of A and B on D. So composition is obvious. And this collage category is actually a zero cylinder because there is a canonical functor from the collage A, D, B to the interval. So it is naturally a zero cylinder, and the base of this zero cylinder is B, its cobase in A is A. Now it's easy to check that every zero cylinder is actually the collage of a distributor. So there is an equivalence between the notion of distributor and cylinders in some sense. So there should be some kind of equivalence of category here. So let me just very briefly describe this. One can construct a category called distributor. The category of distributors, where the base and cobases are varying. So what happened is that you have this functor from cat cross cat to cat. Let me call it D that associate to a pair AB of categories. The distributors between A and B. And this is actually a contravariant functor, right? It's an obvious functor like this. And you take the Grothendieck construction on that, and that defines this category, the category of distributors. And there is an equivalence. So this is the Grothendieck construction applied to D. Okay, so maybe I should, let's say, underlying it is the Grothendieck constructions applied to D. And then the collage operation give you a functor
So there is an equivalence. Of categories. The equivalence between dist and cat over I. And this is the collage. Okay. Okay, now this category here is fabric over cat by construction, because you obtain it by the Grothendieck construction. So it's a Grothendieck fabric. There is a Grothendieck fabrication over cat by cat. So there is a canonical functor here, which is a Grothendieck fabrication, and you expect, because of the equivalence, that there will be also a Grothendieck fabrication on this side, and this will be the identity, and this will be the collage functor, right? So I will just exhibit this Grothendieck fabrication. It's simply this functor here is simply the functor that takes a cylinder and produce its base, its co-base and base. That's the functor. And this thing is a Grothendieck fabrication. It is actually a Grothendieck bifabrication, in the sense that it's also an hop fabrication. So it is both. Okay. And we would like to do the same thing for synthesized sets. So that's we just copy what I just did. There is a notion of cylinder. So we call an object P of simplified set over I, a cylinder. There's a notion of sieve also in a synthesized set, and co-sieve, etc. And this, it's all given by characteristic map like this to I. So there is no problem here. Now, there is also the, a functor like this, which is going to... So if you take delta I, which is 0, 1, then... S over delta I is S cross S. That's 0, 1. I mean, the 2 points. The same as I said with 2 points. So, just pulling back a cylinder along its two ends give you a functor like this. So, let I... be the inclusion, then the functor I upper star
from S over I to S cross S is a Grothendieck bifibration. This is sort of trivial. This is trivial in the sense that this is totally general in the sense that if you E the topos and A is a subobject of an object B in the topos and I is the inclusion, and then you take the restriction functor like this, that's always a Grothendieck bifibration. So that's sort of a trivial observation, but which we need. Now, since it is a Grothendieck bifibration, it means that you can look at the fiber of this at a given pair. So we denote by cylinder AB the fiber of I star at AB at a pair of Saint-Bissel set. So an object of this is a cylinder with base B and cobase A, and there's a category of these cylinders. Okay. Now, we would like to put a model structure on these things. And again, there is an obvious model structure here. S over I has an obvious model structure. Which is obtained from the model structure. S over I W cap. So that's the quasi-category model structure. I'm sorry, from SW cat, right? So we denote it by okay. So we have a model structure on the whole category of cylinders. And yesterday I told you that there was a miracle here. And the miracle is not that S over I is Cartesian closed this time, but it is the fact that this is a Cartesian model, closed model structure. So S over I W cat is a Cartesian closed if you like. I could say it's a monoidal closed model structure, but where the monoidal structure is the Cartesian product in here, which is just the fiber product. And not only that, it is a fibrid model structure. Now, there is a standard notion of fibrid or bifibrid model structure. I gave a reference. Christophe
He's not here this morning. Okay. He actually, there's a notion of fibrid. Now, where is this thing? I think I included it in the reference. Okay, but in any case, it is bifibrid over S cross S. So, in part, I don't know if I really should find you the reference of this. I think the reference should be somewhere. Yeah, okay. It's the reference is Roig. Model category structures and bifibrid categories. GPAA 95. So it's more than 10 years old. Where there's a notion of bifibrid model structure. And that's an example here. And the nice things about these bifibrid model structure is that they induce a model structure on each fiber. So in particular, each category of cylinder has an induced model structure. Which I write cylinder A, B, W cat. Because in the induced model structure, and that's the miracle of it, the cofibrations are the same, the weak equivalences are the same, and the fibrations are the same. In other words, there is a notion of fibration here. Well, if a map in here, if a map turns out to be in here, then it's a fibration for this model structure, if and only if it's a vibrations in the big category. Okay? So it's, you just restrict the classes of weak equivalence, vibrations, co-vibration to each fiber, and that gives you a model structure in each fiber. Okay. there is a comparison between, well, I don't know if I have the time to go into that. Maybe I should move on. Right. Okay. So what I would like to do is to compose the cylinders. It's a bit like you can compose distributors. There is a tensor product of distributors. You should be able to compose cylinders. In other words, if I have a cylinder from A to B, between A and B, so I have arrows like this, and I have arrows like this, and I would like to be able to construct a composite, right? That would be like the tensor product of modules. And at the moment, I don't really know how to do it, or there are technical difficulties in there which I don't know how to solve, and so this is not what I'm going to do. I'm going to use span instead of cylinders. and make the connection between the two. So a span is something much simpler. A span between two simple cell sets is just a simple cell set together with two maps, like this. That's a span. And if you have another span, you may call that maybe a correspondence or something, right? If you have another span, you can take that composite, which is just the composite is just a pullback like this. Actually, I'm thinking of the span as something like this, as going from A to B, and T is from B to C. And so this composite actually should be written TS from A to C, right? So this is the definition of TS. Okay. And I would like to show that there is an equivalence between span and cylinders. So you can define the realizations of a span. So realization. From span, well, I have not defined this category, but to cylinder. So I'm going to write rho lower shriek for the realization functor. I'm sorry? An equivalence relation? No. Okay. So I would give you formal definitions of a span. So P, oh, I see where you're coming. Yeah, no, but maybe in some further stage, you may want to have some kind of equivalence, but I'm not putting an equivalence. Yeah, no, I'm thinking of span as a category. So I take for P the poset of non-empty, this is very pedantic, subset of 0, 1, okay? So you have 0, 1, and the inclusion into 0, 1, okay? That's P, this thing, okay? And the category span is defined to be P-op into simple cell set. So it's a diagram of simple cell set, simply. That's just, as a category, this is just that. And it's actually a bifabred category because there is, as usual, you can define the source and target of the span. So if you have a span, so A and B, then you can define, let's call it I star, as the pair, source and target, right? So that's going to define a functor from span, which may be called I star, to S cross S. And this is, again, a Grothendieck bifabration. And you can look at its fiber. So the fiber is a Grothendieck biofibration. So it's fiber. At AB is the category span AB, which is nothing but the slice category S over A cross B. Because after all, a span is just a semi-set with two maps which you can put together. And it means that this category of span with two fixed bays and cobays is actually a slice category like this.
I guess I have to think about that law of composition here, because only well is lining up tight and perfect.
This composition? Yeah. Well, actually, I'm going to put a bi-category structure on that, right? Okay. It's defined up to isomorphism, but the isomorphism are coherent, right? Okay. So I want to define a realization functor. In other words, given a span, I want to associate to it a cylinder. Okay? And I'm sure you have the picture in mind. Okay? To construct a cylinder from a span, right, if you try to think about it, there's almost just one solution to do that, right? How would you do it? So rho, our shriek of a span, constructed by the push-out. Diagram. First, you you glue the cylinder S cross I. You have the two ends, and you use the source and target of the span. Let's call that the source and the target. And you use S union T to A B, and you take a push out, and that's rho star of the span. That's the realization of the span. Okay, so the picture is like this. You have A and B, and you glue a cylinder this is here, it is S, the section S. You attach a cylinder to A and B along the two endpoints. Okay. Now, this is a colimit construction, and it has this functor as a right adjoint, which is also nice. The right adjoint associated to a cylinder, a span, which is in some sense the global sections of the cylinder. So, the functor roll our shriek as a right adjoint row upper shriek. And let me describe you your upper shriek of a cylinder. So you take a cylinder and you want to construct a span. Well, this cylinder has global sections. There is a simplified set of global section, which is that. I mean, in the slice category S over I, it's enriched over simplified set, and you can consider
the global sections. So that's, if you want to think of it, it's like the space of arrows between the base and the co-base, right? And global sections restrict to C0 and to C1, right? So it's like you take the space of arrows between A and B, and each arrow has a domain or a codomain which land into C0 and C1. You get a span. That's the right adjoint. And there's another little miracle here. It's the fact that this realization functor is actually preserve limits. I mean, a good realization functor, very often I like that, you know. This functor, actually, Rolle or Shriek, is a right adjoint, actually. It's not totally obvious, but it turns out that this is a right adjoint. So this thing preserves limits. And so we are in a sort of very nice situation. We can now transport the equivalence, definition, a map, a span, let's say MN is called, so that's a map in the category of span, is called bivariant equivalence if rho u from rho m, its realization is a weak categorical equivalence. Now there is a model structure. There is a model structure on the category of span where the weak equivalences, so theorem, the category span admits model structure. In which the cofabrication are the monomorphism and the fabrication, the weak equivalence are the bivariant equivalences. So there is a notion of bivariant fabrication in there. And this is again a bifabred model category. In other words, if you fix A and B and you look at span over AB, okay, so the category span, the model category, or let's say
the model structure. Span with the bivariant weak equivalence, which I denote like this. This is a class of bivariant equivalence, is by Fabred. Over S W cat times S W cat. Not only that, moreover, the pair row level shriek from span to cylinder row shriek is a Quillen equivalence, is a Quillen with respect to the model categories that we have considered. Okay. So it means that we have succeeded to transport this very natural model structure on cylinders to span. It's an equivalent place. But now we have the possibility of composing span, and we have to verify that this composition is well defined in the homotopy category. So I'm going to denote omega AB that's the homotopy category of homotopy span AB with respect to the bivariant weak equivalence. Okay. And the composition there is then a composition that takes omega CB times omega AB to omega AC. Compositions of span. It is induced by this composition, but it's more like a derived composition. In order to compose spans, you first need to make sure that they are Fabrant objects. You cannot compose them. If you want to get the induced composition here, you have to check. Yeah. This composition is induced by the compositions of Fabrant spans. That's homotopy pushout of cylinders, right? Yeah, I think it's a good idea. It should be some kind of homotopy pushout. I mean, when you compose cylinders, you glue them somewhere, and you want to think that this is an homotopy pushout. Except that the usual homotopy pushout, unfortunately, is just the same as the pushout, right? And there's a lot of stuff in the middle that you want to get rid of, because in a tensor product, there are. I'm sorry?
I think there will be the inclusions of a cylinder.
That's what your Rochefort functor did.
I'm sorry?
Your Rochefort functor was secretly the thing that converts a push, secretly constructs a monotopy pushout by converting mass and pressure into cold vibration.
Yeah, right. But the following, I understand that there should be some kind of a multiple pushout around here for cylinders. But a little bit of the mysterious thing here, although geometrically, pictorially, is that compositions of span is really a pullback. It's really like a multiple pullback. That's compositions of span. It's pullback. And you expect that these compositions here will be turned into some kind of a multiple pushout, right? So there is something which is not totally obvious which is going on here, and I have not been able to develop the compositions of cylinders here in a way which would be technically reasonable. I always got into technical difficulties which I don't know how to solve in a simple manner. So there may be a way, it's just that sometime you know, you may look to work on a problem for 5-10 years and you don't see the obvious solution. You need someone else to tell you over your shoulder, you should do that. Yes, right. But you're right. Compositions of cylinders is connected with some kind of a multiple pushout. I agree. Okay, now where is this going? We get a bicategory. We obtain a bicategory. Omega. Right? The objects of this bicategory. That's the synthesized sets, that the object of synthesized sets. The category of arrows is just omega AB. Composition is compositions of span, etc. That's a bicategory. It's not a two category because compositions of span is defined up to a canonical isomorphism. Everything is coherent, but it's not strictly associative. It is like a tensor product. Compositions of span is really behave more like a tensor product than just compositions of function. Now, this is a monoidal. So that means that there is a tensor product. That's a scary thing at first. It's a tensor product on a bicategory. it's there. Actually, bicategory with tensor product are presently studied by a group of people. Richard Wood. Maybe Russ Street. And recently, Max Kelly. And unfortunately, Max died last Friday. And he was working on the theory of monoidal bicategory of some kind, because there are coherence problems there. The tensor product has to be associative, not up to isomorphism, but up to equivalence. And what do you write? The pentagon is not enough. You have to go further, and etc. So there are non-obvious coherence problems to be solved. And Max apparently had a solution to these problems. And unfortunately, he died. But apparently, his recent work is complete, so this will be published soon.
But that's an example here. Omega is monoidal because the category of span itself is monoidal. There is a tensor product of span, which is just actually their Cartesian product. So if you have two span, and T from C to D, then their Cartesian product is a span from A cross C to B cross D. And this Cartesian product is maybe better denoted tensor, because we want to think of it as a tensor of a monoidal category. And we have the same thing with omega. Okay, but now we would like to show that it's a compact closed monoidal bicategory, and it is symmetric, I should say. It's a symmetric monoidal bicategory. And we would like to show it that it is compact. Now, compact, that's a terminology that was introduced by Kelly. It's not totally, it's widespread in category theory, but in algebraic geometry, I think that people are calling rigid. It's like a Tanakian category. You have tensor product and duality. Is it not called rigid by Deligne? Yeah, it's called rigid. I mean, okay. I guess Deligne does not read what category theorist is doing, right? Okay? Well, no. Grothendieck was considered to be a category theorist by André Weil. So, Deligne read category theory. So duality. So the duality in an ordinary symmetric monoidal category E with a tensor first, okay? an object Y is said to be dual of an object X if there are maps epsilon and eta so satisfying the identities now what are these identities if you do it yeah okay
Okay, let me write. Okay. Satisfying the identities epsilon tensor X. And eta tensor X is equal to the identity of X, and a similar thing on the other side. I think it's epsilon tensor X star and X star tensor eta. No, I got it wrong. Ah, yeah, right. Yeah. That's better. Thank you. Right. Equal to identity of X star. Okay. Okay. And there is a similar notions in a bicategory, except that now instead of having an equality here, you will have an isomorphism, a two cell, which is an isomorphism. So this will be a zero cell, a one cell, and this will be an isomorphism between two one cells. And it makes sense to consider a dual object in a symmetric monoidal bicategory. And the result is that omega is compact. That is, every object of omega has a dual, and this dual is the opposite category. So, okay. So we need to describe spans, which I'm going to write epsilon A from A up to 1, and eta A from A cross A, the other way. Describe two spans and show that the identities are satisfied. So let me describe you the spans. So A, we could do it in cap first to have an idea of what we are doing. So in cap, epsilon A as a span will be a span like this. It's an object, it's a category, right? Epsilon A has to be like that, right? It's a span. And epsilon A is the category of elements of the functor Hom. This is a covariant functor on A up cross set, and you just take its category of elements, and there is a canonical projection, and that's it. Now, what is the other one? I hope I get it right, because it's kind of It's very confusing. So the other one would be something like that. Eta A and so what is this? So I'm going to try to describe it in one sentence. Eta A is the category of elements of, now a covariant functor has a category of elements, but not only a covariant functor, a contravariant functor too. So of the contravariant functor, which contravariant functor? They're the same. But the functor Hahn, which is usually considered to be a covariant functor from A up cross A to set, can be viewed as a contravariant functor from A cross A up to set. Okay? Covariant functor on the category can be viewed as a contravariant functor on the opposite category. Okay? Now, as a contravariant functor, it has a category of elements. And there will be a projections, and that's it. They are almost the same in some sense, but there's a subtle difference between the two. Right. Okay. So, for simplicity's sake now, we would like to do it not for a category but for a simplified set. What are these objects? So the question is, what is this? So what is a simplex of that? Well, you can check that this is the same as, I will not open that. This is the same as so you take this, which is just the actually the ordinal sum. So you take the opposite of n, take the ordinal sum, and map it to A. In other words, this thing here is just a map from n op star and to A, where this is the ordinal sums of post sets. Of course, N up is N, but should be careful, like, better to keep N up there, because you're actually describing the nerve of this thing. So it takes care of the face and degeneracy. I mean, if you want to, for example, describe the face of something like this, you have to use the operator d, di op star di if you want to compute the face, which is going to go into n op star minus 1 star n minus 1. So that's the way you compute. Di op is something, it's a di, but some n minus I or something, you know. So it's a, but the idea is very simple, right? So you can define, I'm sorry?
I think this is called the edgewise substitution.
edge. Oh, I'm very interested. I'm very interested. Yeah, I'm very interested. Yeah, yeah. let me just maybe tell you what it looks like a little bit as a simplex. It's really nothing but, let's say you have normally a simplex is a chain. Is a chain of arrows in A. That's a simplex. That's an ordinary simplex in A. Okay? That's an ordinary N simplex in A. There are N arrows. Okay? But here, the simplex will be accompanied with with that, with an extra strand on the left hand side. Okay, so instead of being just that, you have the whole picture, which you may think as a sort of commutative diagram, because then there will be arrows plenty between any of this and this. There were plenty of arrows. So that's what a simplex is. So you can define a functor, which I call A, from delta to delta, by putting A of n equal to n up star n. And what we have learned by looking at the cutter called K's is that the span epsilon A as an object should be A star of A. Okay? So if you have this functor induce a pair, right? A lower shriek from simply cell set, a pair of adjoint functor. A upper star, and the analysis shows that epsilon A is A upper star of A. Now there are two maps from epsilon A, one to A up and the other to A. There are two maps of simply cell sets. One goes to A up and the other goes to A, and the first map comes from the inclusion and the of n up in it, and the other from the other inclusion. So these two maps are very easy to define. And if you put them together, you get a map of simply cell set like this. You get a span, actually. Yeah, it's a span. Now, this map, so this map is a left fabrication if A is a quasi-category. So it's a little bit like the category of elements of a covariant functor. I mean, before we constructed it as the category of elements of the Hom functor, which was a covariant functor, and the category of elements of a covariant functor is a discrete op fabrication, which is sort of a special case of a left fabrication, and you check that this thing is always a left fabrication. So this it means it's very nice, and now you check that it works. In other words, you can define eta in a similar manner, and the equations that I wrote down are are satisfied. So before, since there is 5 minutes left, I would like to connect this with the Yoneda lemma. And this connection was made also by Daros Nicol in his talk, and he attributed to Lurie the Yoneda lemma of Lurie, he said. I have not seen this lemma in his manuscript, but maybe it is there, because I have not read the manuscript systematically. This thing is a very natural thing, and I would like to tell you in which way it's connected to Yoneda lemma, a strong form of Yoneda lemma. So next time, I'm going to introduce the quasi-category hot, which is hot one, which is the coherent nerve of the category of Kant complexes. And hot has a terminal object one, which is just the because the when you take the coherent nerve of a category, the objects or the zero cells there are just the objects of the category. In CAN, you have a terminal object, and that's it. This is just the space with one element. Now, if you do one over hot, the category of pointed, that's the quasi-category of pointed Kant complex, essentially. You slice over one. There is a projection there. Okay, there's a projection. And now this is a universal left fibration. Universal left fibrations in a sense of classifying spaces. This means that if you have a simplified set and you have a left fibration, over it, there is always a map, there is always a pullback square. For every, there exists pullback square. With the universal left fibration. intuitively, a left fibration, the fibers of a left fibration are Kant complexes. So this map associates to each vertex here a Kant complex, which is exactly the fiber of E, right? And you can make it in such a way that it's a map of simplified set, and you have a pullback square. I will not discuss the unicity of this classifying map of the universal left fibration, but not for a moment. I just want to point out the connection between this thing and the Yoneda lemma, because here we have a we have a special case. For every quasi-category, there is a certain left fibration, canonical left fibration, which is sort of the Hom functor. So that means that you have this left fibration, and it will be classified by a map. And this thing, you can call it Hom if you like. Okay. Because that's the analog. If A is a category, that's the analog of the Hom functor from A up cross A to set. But now it goes into Kant complexes. So there is a pullback square like this. And you can use this pullback square to define this Hom map for any quasi-category A. There will be a Hom with value in hot. Right. Now, using it, you get by exponential adjointness, you get the unidal map, which goes into A up. Okay, so that's the unidal map is coming from the Hom. So everything is sort of pretty involved in the sense that in category theory these maps are totally obvious, but here you have to do quite a bit of work to get them, but there is a unidal map, right? Now, there is a unidal lemma, but one aspect of it is that this is the map Y is fully faithful. So that's apparently that according to Barros Nicol, Lurie has a proof of that. So I have not yet myself proved that. So. But I have not, I don't know, maybe the proof is in the note of Lurie, I don't know, I would have to dig there. I'm supposed to see Lurie next month, so I'm going to clarify that with him. Maybe one thing is that in this theory, the notions of pre-stack, this is a pre-stack, but it's a covariant pre-stack, right? If you want to have a contravariant pre-stack, you just do the opposite of that. But it's a covariant pre-stack. So that's one way of looking at the theory of pre-stack. It's the theory of left or right fibrations over a given simplicized set. But there's another way of looking at the theory of pre-stack, which is to just look at a vertex of this quasi-category, right? So this thing here is a typical example of a higher topos, of a maybe it could be called homotopos. You may find a better name, I don't know. So that's a typical example of a higher topos. It's like the quasi-category of pre-stack on a simplicized set A. Okay. Yeah. I should stop here. Thank you. Yeah.